Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, and that your word would guide us, Father, and teach us the things that you would have us do and learn and follow, Father. We know that you have a direction. You have a purpose for each and every one of your servants. And we ask, Father, that you would enlighten us. Open our hearts and minds that we might receive the implanted word, that we might receive the instructions that you have for us this day. Guide us, Father, by your Holy Spirit, and cause each one of us, Father, to be drawn closer to you as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us, Father, for our sinful nature, and we ask, Father, that you would make us more like your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who gave his life, that we might have life more abundantly. He shed his blood that it might cleanse each and every one of our sins, Father. Help us to be faithful as we seek to do that which is right in your sight. We want to be more like Yahshua, Father, because truly he was your Son, and he was the Lamb of Yahweh. He was humble. He was forgiving of all those that sinned against him. So, Father, help us to have that same type of forgiveness in our hearts for those that trespass against us. And help us, Father, to truly show the love that has been shown to us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. So we thank you for all you've done for us, for our life, health, and strength, and for sending your Son to cleanse us from all our sins. In Yahshua's name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. This message is entitled, Well Done. Too often we limit others' ability by our own shortcomings. Why discount others' ability to lie based on our own inability to believe? When Peter asked Yahshua to bid him to come walk on the water, he did. And he believed that he could do it because Yahshua was doing it. And Peter did walk on water. If we have enough faith, brethren, we can move mountains or walk on water as long as it benefits Yahweh's kingdom. We have to understand there's a purpose for everything. We should be about building one another's faith, helping each other grow into the person Almighty Yahweh knows we can be. We all want to be our best for Almighty Yahweh. How can we get to that point in our lives that we can feel that Almighty Yahweh is saying, well done, good and faithful servant, so-and-so? We all want to hear well done as it pertains to us, whether we are a small child or an aging senior. We want to receive praise, but it seems so hard for most of us to give it. And that seems to be in our nature. It starts with praising Yahweh because he truly deserves it. He inhabits the praises of Israel. And we know the scripture teaches us, if we go over to Proverbs 27, verse 1, it says, a man shall be tried by his praise. That's Proverbs 27:1. It says, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. And a man is tried by his praise. Each one of us, brethren, will be tried by our praise. But you know what? It's inherent in us that each and every one of us wants that praise. We want to hear that we've done a good job, whether we're on our jobs working, whether it's by our parents telling us, you know, good job. See, that's something that each one of us seems to have a need. It lifts us to receive that praise. That's why the scriptures say a man shall be tried by his praise. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll start in verse 14. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1. To each according to his several ability. So this man gave his talents to these 3 individuals based on their several ability. In other words, he knew what their abilities were. So he gave the talents according. So when you think about this, think about Yahweh and the abilities that he has given to each one of you. Each one of us has received talent, blessings, according to our several abilities. Now, I don't know what all of your abilities are. Yahweh knows. He knows, and therefore he has blessed you with those abilities. My question today is, are you using those abilities that Yahweh has given you for his honor and glory? Are you using them for your own? It says in verse 16, immediately he that received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made other 5 talents. He doubled the talents that Yahweh had given him. He doubled the talents through his several ability, through the ability that Yahweh had given him. In like manner also, he also that received 2 gained the other 2. But he that received 1 went away and dug in the earth and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and made a reckoning with them. And he that received the 5 talents and came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Lo, I have gained the other 5 talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to hear, brethren. Well done, good and faithful servant. We want to hear that from Almighty Yahweh. I will set, he says, you have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also that received 2 talents came and said, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Lo, I have gained other 2 talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master because you have been faithful over the talents that I've blessed you with. And he also that had received the 1 talent and came and said, Master, I know you. that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, you have your own. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reaped where I sowed not and gathered where I did not scatter. You ought to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back my own with interest. Take away, therefore, the talent from him and give it to him that had the 10 talents. For every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. And cast out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is it that you have been blessed with, brethren? What talent did you have that will be enhanced or taken away because you use it not for Yahweh? Turn to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis 37. I'm going to start at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land of his father's sojourning, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and he was a lad with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, and his father's wives. And Joseph brought the evil report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, and they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Is this because Joseph came and gave the evil report to his father of his brothers, because they were doing things that were wrong? Or because of the love that his father had for him, for Joseph? I'm going to continue in verse 5. It said, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet more. And he said to them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed, for behold, you were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves came round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream, and behold, the sun and moon and 11 stars made obedience to me. And he told his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brethren indeed come and bow ourselves to you to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father kept the same in mind. In verse 12 it says, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. Come, and I will send you to them. And he said to him, here I am. And he said to him, go now, see whether it is well with your brethren and well with the flock. And bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, And he came to Shechem, and a certain man found him, and behold, he was watering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What are you looking for?" And he said, "I am seeking my brethren. Tell me, I pray you, where they are feeding the flock." And the man said, "They have left here, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And they saw him afar off before he came near unto them, and they conspired against him to kill him. They hated their brother. How many commandments is this breaking? See, we're supposed to love one another. We're not supposed to hate what's in our heart, any of our brothers. "Come now, therefore, and let us kill him and cast him in one of the pits. And we will say, 'An evil beast has devoured him,' and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it and delivered him out of their hand and said, "Let us not take his life." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood. Cast him into the pit that is in the wilderness, but lay no hand upon him to restore him, that he might deliver him out of their hand to restore him to his father." So Reuben was going to make sure that his brother made it back home to his father. And it came to pass, when Joseph had come to his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat, the coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, our flesh." And his brethren listened to him, and there passed the Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. So Judah decided, "Hey, you know what? We can make some money. Let's sell him. Let's not kill him. Let's sell him." See? There's a commandment against that in the Torah. We're not supposed to sell our brethren into slavery. But what you have to understand is what is going on in the hearts of these men. They hated him because of his dream, and because he was his father's favorite. Yahshua was his father's favorite. They hated Yahshua as well and had him put to death. It fulfilled prophecy. This also fulfilled something Yahweh wanted fulfilled. He did this to save Israel. Joseph going down to Egypt. In verse 29 it says, "And Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he tore his clothes, he rent his clothes, and he turned to his brethren and said, 'The child is not. Where shall I go?' And they took Joseph's coat and killed the he-goat and dipped the coat in the blood. And they set the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This have we found, know not whether it is your son's coat or not.' And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn into pieces.' And Jacob rent his garments." He tore his garments as a sign of grieving because he had lost his son. and all his sons. It said, and he put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down to Sheol, to the grave, to my son mourning. And his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard. This message is entitled, Well Done. And the reason that we're looking at Joseph is because Joseph was faithful to Almighty Yahweh. And he wanted to receive that praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. Genesis chapter 39. It says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites that had brought him down there. And Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all that he did prosper in his hand. Now, how many of us, regardless of who we're working for, our employer, are we doing that kind of work that Yahweh is blessing us, that our employer or our business is prospering because Yahweh is with us in everything that we're doing? In verse 5, it says, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And all the blessing of Yahweh was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew nothing that was with him save the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome and well-favored. We know the rest of the story as far as the wife seeking him. But if you drop down to verse 19, Genesis chapter 39, verse 19, it says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did your servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, and the place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But Yahweh was with Joseph and showed kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. And whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Yahweh was with him, and that which he did, Yahweh made it to prosper. So wherever Joseph was, whether it was in Potiphar's house, and you see how Satan came, but this was allowed. Yahweh allowed it to happen for a reason, because he wanted Joseph to be in prison so that he can come in contact with Pharaoh's servants. But you see that everywhere Joseph went, Yahweh was with him. He was blessed. There was a purpose for that blessing. Almighty Yahweh wanted Joseph to be in the right place at the right time. In Genesis 41, Genesis 41, verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not me. Elohim will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the brink of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed and well-favored. And they fed in the reed grass. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and ill-favored cows did eat up the first seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. So I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came up on one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted, with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. But Yahweh can give us the answer of all of the things that we want to know about the future. He's the one that tells us in his word what is coming. What is ahead of us, brethren? We know the rest of the story. Turn over to Genesis chapter 42. Verse 1, it says, now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. And Jacob said to his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Get down there and buy for us some from there, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy grain from Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest perhaps he is harmed. And the sons of Israel came to buy also. Those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. There's a famine going on in the world today, brothers. A famine of hearing the word of Yahweh. That's our job, to witness this truth throughout the world, so people will know that there's a mighty one in Israel. Verse 6, and Joseph was the governor over the land. It was he that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down to him with their faces to the earth. So what happened? Joseph's dream in Genesis 37 came to pass. His brethren bowed before him. Turn over to Genesis. Chapter 45. And verse 1, and Joseph could not control himself before all them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near, I pray you. Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And now be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me here, for Elohim, Yahweh, sent me before you to preserve life. He has a purpose for each and every one of us, brethren. We have to find that purpose, to fulfill that purpose in our life. Like I said, everything you do, are you doing it to Yahweh, to give honor and glory to our Father in heaven? When you work for that person you're working for, you're giving 100, 200%. See, Joseph was blessed wherever he went because he was willing to work hard for Yahweh. And Yahweh used him to preserve Israel. Is Yahweh going to use you? Is he going to be able to say to you, well done, good and faithful servant, so-and-so? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, I'm going to start at verse 1. Take heed that you do not your righteousness before men, to be seen of them, else you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When therefore you do alms, sound not a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret may recompense you. And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your inner chamber, having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall recompense you. Drop down to verse 16. It says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may be seen of the fast. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you be not seen of men to fast, but of your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall recompense you. Brethren, Satan wants Almighty Yahweh's praise, and he wants his worship. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verses 8 to 10. It says, again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says to him, all these things will I give to you if you will fall down and worship me. And trust me, brethren, the devil is going to come to you and offer you the same. He's going to offer you the kingdoms of this world. He's going to offer you riches if you'll just worship him. But what did Yahshua say? Then says Yahshua to him, get you hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship. I mean, you shall worship Yahweh, your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Almighty Yahweh is the only one that we need to worship. He's the only one that we need to serve. Exodus chapter 20. 22:20. Exodus chapter 22:20. It says, he that sacrifices to any Elohim except to Yahweh only shall be utterly destroyed. If we worship these other idols, which are demons, we're going to be destroyed, brethren. Yahweh is looking for a few good people, just like Joseph, who are willing to give their best, their all, to worship him. Cross the page in Exodus 23:13, it says, and in all things that I have said to you, take heed, and make no mention of the name of Elohim, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. That's what Satan wants. He wants you to worship him in some form. See, he'll take any form to take usurp Yahweh's praise. Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 23. Joshua 23, verse 6. We'll read down to 11. It says, therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that you come not among these nations, these that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their Elohim, nor cause to swear by them, nor serve them, nor bow down yourselves to them, but hold fast to Yahweh your Elohim, as you have done this to this day. For Yahweh has driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand, for Yahweh your Elohim, he it is that fights for you. So when we come into a battle, brethren, you have to remember who is with us, who is leading us. That's why we sang the song today. The battle belongs to Yahweh. Yahweh is the one that fights our battles. Take good heed, in verse 11, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love Yahweh your Elohim. That's what we have to do, brothers. We have to learn to love Yahweh. That's what he wants. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. This is after we've learned the Shema in chapter 6, verse 49. In verse 13 it says, you shall fear Yahweh your Elohim, and him shall you serve, and shall swear by his name. You shall not go after another Elohim of the Elohim of the peoples that are around you. But Yahweh, your Elohim, who is among you, is a jealous El. Lest the anger of Yahweh, your Elohim, be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt Yahweh, your Elohim, as you tempted him in Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he has commanded you, and you shall do that which is right and good in the sight of Yahweh, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to cast out all your enemies from before you, as Yahweh has spoken. Do you believe that Yahweh is casting out all of our enemies from before us? We must have faith in Yahweh. We must trust in Almighty Yahweh because he's the one that's going to cast out the enemy from before us. Turn over to Revelation chapter 13. There's going to come a time very shortly in the near future where you're going to be asked to worship someone other than Almighty Yahweh. It says in Revelation 13:1, and he stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns 10 diadems, and upon his heads names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power The dragon is Satan the devil. And his throne in great authority. And I saw one of the heads as though it had been struck to death. And his death stroke was healed. And the whole earth wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to war with him? And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And there was given to him authority to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth with blasphemies against Yahweh to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, even them that dwell in the heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And there was given to him authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation. And all that dwell on the earth shall worship him. All that dwell on the earth shall worship him, except those who are Yahweh. Those who are following Almighty Yahweh. It says, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb that has been killed. That's why we want to make sure that our name is written in the book, that we are doing what Yahweh wants us to do, so that we will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It says in verse 9, if any man has an ear, let him hear. If any man is for captivity, into captivity he goes. If any man shall kill with the sword he must be killed. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Verse 11, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his sight. And he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast. But these are the people who don't have the mark of Yahweh. These are the people who do not have the seal of Almighty Yahweh. And he makes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose death stroke was healed. And he does great signs that he should even make fire to come down out of heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by reason of the signs, just like he deceived Eve. Just like he deceived Eve. Which was given to him to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, an idol, an image. This is what they're going to do. They're going to make an image to the beast who has the stroke of the sword and lives. And it was given to him to give breath to it, even to the image, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. We saw this in Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar set up the image, those that would not bow were supposed to be killed. This is going to happen again, brethren. See, this image is going to come to life. And it says it was given to him to give breath to it, even to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as should not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond that there be given to them a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, and that no man should be able to buy or sell except he that has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666. Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11. It says, and there was given to me a reed like a rod, and one said, rise and measure the temple of Elohim, and the altar, and them that worship in it, and the court, which is outside the temple, leave out, and measure it not, for it has been given to the nations. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. And I will give to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the Elohim of the earth. And if any man desires to hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemy. And if any man shall desire to hurt them, in this manner must he be killed. These have the power to shut the heavens, that it rain not during the days of their prophecy. And they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with every plague as often as they shall desire. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. For their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where they also their master was impaled. And we know this to be Jerusalem, brethren. And from among the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do men look upon their dead bodies 3.5 days and do not allow their dead bodies to be laid in the tomb. And they that dwell on the earth shall rejoice over them and shall make merry, and they shall send gifts to one another. Sort of like this time of the year coming up. Because of these two prophets tormented or judged them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life from Yahweh entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell on them that saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here, real high cold. And they went up in the heaven in a cloud, and their enemy saw them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and there were killed in the earthquake 7,000 persons. And the rest were terrified and gave glory to the Elohim of heaven. They were terrified and gave glory to Yahweh. Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. Verse 1, and it says, the angel that talked with me came again and woke me, as a man that is awakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? And I said, I have seen, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, and with its bowl upon the top of it, and its seven lamps upon it. There are seven pipes to each of the lamps which are upon the top of it, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl and the other upon the left side of it. And I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my kind sir? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said to me, know you not what these are? And I said, no, my master. Then he answered, and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the top stone with shoutings of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. But who has despised the day of small things? For these seven shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of Yahweh which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side of it? And I answered the second time and said to him, these, what are these two olive branches which are beside the two golden spouts that empty the golden oil out of themselves? We know oil represents the name of Yahweh, brethren. And these are the two witnesses. It says, and he answered me and said, know you not what these are? And I said, no, my master. Then said he to me, these are the two anointed ones that stand by Yahweh of the whole earth. They stand by Yahweh of the whole earth. They're doing Yahweh's bidding. They're doing Yahweh's will. So Yahweh is going to say to the two witnesses, well done, good and faithful servant, because they're doing his bidding. They're doing his will in the last days. Zechariah chapter 12. The burden in verse 1 of the word of Yahweh concerning Israel. In this manner says Yahweh, who stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of reeling. To all the peoples all around and upon Judah also shall it be in the siege against Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the peoples, and all that burden themselves with it shall be severely wounded. And all the nations of the earth shall be gathered together against it. And we know that this is coming to pass in these last days, brethren. They're coming together against Israel. But Yahweh is going to protect Israel. Drop down to verse, and it says, Yahweh also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem be not magnified above Judah. In that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as Elohim, as the angel of Yahweh before them. We know who the angel of Yahweh is, and he's going to protect Jerusalem. It says in verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Yahweh makes a separation between the holy and the common, the clean and the unclean. And it shall come to pass in verse 2, in that day, says Yahweh of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. They're going to be cast out of the Holy Land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, that his father and his mother that procreated him shall say to him, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of Yahweh. And his father and his mother that procreated him shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed, every one, of his vision when he prophesies. Neither shall they wear a hairy mantle to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a tiller of the ground, for I have been made a bondman from my youth. And one shall say to him, what are these wounds between your arms? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, says Yahweh of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says Yahweh, two parts in it shall be cut off and die. Two-thirds of the population. And I will bring the third part into the fire. And will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, Yahweh is my Elohim. Is Yahweh your Elohim today, brother? That's the question I have for you today. Is he going to be able to say of you, well done, good and faithful servant? Yahweh's people are going to be refined by fire. And that fire is the tribulation that's soon coming upon this earth. And we're going to be protected. And we're going to be protected for a purpose. Yahweh has a purpose for each and every one of us. In Zechariah 14, it says, behold, verse 1, a day come, when your plunder shall be divided in the middle of you. For I will gather all nations unto Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand on that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall divide in the middle of it toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half toward the south. And you shall flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee, like as you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And Yahweh, my Elohim, shall come, and all the holy ones with you. And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall not be light. The bright ones shall withdraw themselves. They're going to withdraw themselves. But it shall be one day which is known to Yahweh, only to Yahweh, not day and not night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time there shall be light. And it shall come to pass in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea and half toward the western sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. And Yahweh shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall Yahweh be one and his name one. Verse 12, drop down to verse 12, it says, and this shall be the plague with which Yahweh will strike all the peoples that have warred against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouths. And we know this is what's happening during a nuclear blast. They're just wiped away while they're standing right there. In verse 13 it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from Yahweh shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations all around shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and of the mule and the camel and the ass and all the beasts that shall be in those camps as that plague." We know from 16 on, talks about them keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, even during the kingdom of Yahweh that comes upon this earth. Brethren, Joshua cleansed the temple. He cleansed the temple at the beginning of his ministry. The temple of Yahweh, and at the end of his ministry, the temple of Yahweh must be pure. So all of Yahweh's people must be cleansed by his Holy Spirit and a desire to receive his praise, not the praise of men or saints. We want our praise of Yahweh, brethren, not of men. We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It says in verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as of ministers of the Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of Yahweh." The parable of the talents, brethren. Some of us have been given 5 talents, some 2, some 1. "Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. And with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing against myself, yet am I not justified by this. But he that judges me is Yahshua. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until Yahshua comes, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness and to make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall each man have his praise from Yahweh." And that's what we want, brethren. We want to be praised by Yahweh. We don't care for the praise of men. See? We want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when our time comes to stand before the judgment throne. Yahshua tells us in the book of John, if you turn over to John 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive, for it beholds it not, neither knows it. You know it, for it remains with you and shall be in you." He's going to give his Holy Spirit to those that have chosen to serve him. This is why it's important that we have this Holy Spirit coming. "I will not leave you desolate," in verse 18. "I come to you yet a little while, and the world beholds me no more. But you behold me because I live. You shall live also. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judah, not Iscariot, said to him, Teacher, what has come to pass that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Yahshua answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my words, and the word which you heard is not mine, but the Father's. The Father's who sent me. Yahshua gave us an example. But you know what? Yahweh has sent us as well. He didn't just send Yahshua. He didn't just send the disciples, the apostles. He sent us in the last days as well. That's why we want to live up to the high calling that we've received. We have something that the world doesn't have. And therefore, we are going to be able to receive that blessing that when Yahweh says, well done, good and faithful servant, because we've used the talents that Yahweh has given us, okay, to prosper, to witness to those around us through songs of praise, through the preachings and the teachings, through our lives, how we've walked in the covenant. John 10, verse 22. And it was the feast of dedication, Hanukkah, at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yahshua was walking in the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews therefore came all around him and said to him, how long do you hold us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Yahshua answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me, but you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. Yahshua has that power. Almighty Yahweh can give eternal life through Yahshua the Messiah. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father, one we are. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. Yahshua answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. And because that you being a man make yourself Elohim. Yahshua answered them, is it not written in your law? I said, you are Elohim. If he called them Elohim, to whom the word of Yahweh came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him, whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of Elohim? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do them, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father. They sought again to take him, but he went forth out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan, into the place where John was at first baptizing. And there he remained. And many came to him. And they said, John indeed did no sign, but all things whatever John spoke of this man were true. And many believed on him there. They believed on him. You know why they believed on him? Because he had Yahweh's blessing. Yahweh did say, well done, good and faithful servant. For our closing passage, turn over to Psalm 82. Psalm 82. Elohim stands in the congregation of El. He judges among the Elohim. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Elah. Judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are Elohim, and all of you sons of the Most High. This is what Yahshua was trying to get them to understand. We're all children of Yahweh if we choose to take up and do what he commands us to do. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O Elohim, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Almighty Yahweh is looking for a people who are willing to do his commandments, that he can say, well done, good and faithful servant, for you have kept the will of your Father in heaven. Inherit the kingdom of my Father. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you try diligently to measure up, to be a part of that kingdom which is soon coming. He asked for a certain type of person, one that was willing to go forth and do his will, to receive the blessings from on high, so that he would be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to do his will. Not only today, but each and every day till Yahshua returns. Let us rise at this time and we'll close with a word of prayer. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we come before you again on this Sabbath day, seeking, Father, a blessing from on high. We thank you for this word which we've heard. And Father, we ask that you would cause us to be like Joseph, that we would receive your blessing for doing our best so that each person around us would give glory to your holy name, Father, because they see that you're different. Your people are different. But they're willing to work hard in whatever circumstance they find themselves, that they're willing to overachieve so that they would see that the blessings from on high would be upon your servants. Father, let us walk in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah, who did your will. And he gave his life, Father, trying to overcome this world. And truly, he did overcome this world and Satan the devil. He received, Father, the greatest blessing by being your son. Help us to walk in his footsteps, that we might be called sons of Elohim as well, and receive the great blessing. Help us, Father, that we might receive that same blessing. Well done, good and faithful servant. We seek to do that which is right in your sight, Father. We know that your servants have the ability. The two witnesses are going to stop the rain for 3.5 years. And the people of this world are going to hate your people, because we keep your covenant law and we're doing your will. And that in these last days, Father, we're not going to be worshiping the beast and the dragon, Satan, the devil. But we're going to worship you and you only. And we're going to continue to worship you and not have any other Elohim before us. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your son, Yahshua the Messiah. In his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. For our closing song, we're going to sing number 25, Praise Awaits You in Zion.